Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome to today's Daf Pesachim Ayin Daled. We begin a new perek. Says the Mishnah, Ketzad Tzelenas HaPesach, how do we go about roasting the Karban Pesach? Mevi'in Shvud Shel Rimon, we bring a spit, a piece of wood from a Rimon, a pomegranate tree. I think we'll explain why specifically a Rimon tree is used. We insert that rod through the mouth of the Karban Pesach, ad beis nukavasai, all throughout, through the animal, all the way out to the back opening. And Tosfos explains that the wider side of the spit would protrude out of the mouth. So they would insert the narrow, sharper side of the spit through the animal, leaving the wider side of the spit hanging beyond the mouth. And then, of course, the Gemara says they would tilt the animal with the mouth facing downward, and that's the way they would hang the Karban Pesach to roast it. V'noisnein es krov, and he places the legs of the Karban Pesach, which he removes from the carbon, ves b'nei me'ov, and also the intestines, which he removes to rinse off, l'soichai, right into the animal, and that's how he roasts it. Divrei Rabbi Yosi HaGlili, the pasuk says that the entire carbon is meant to be roasted all together as one unit. It says, Tzli'esh roishai al kro'av ve'al kirbay, the actual animal with its legs and the inside. And therefore, we do it all as one unit. Now, the question is, how would he remove the legs? We're not meant to chop the bones of the Karban Pesach. Shviras atzomos is asur. And Farshim explain the legs would be removed without breaking any bones. They would simply cut through the gidin, the sinews, and that's not called shvira aset. So according to this shita, Reisi Aglili, you do it all as one, leaving the legs, the bnei ma'ayim, inside the carbon itself. Rabbi Kiva Omer, kimin bishluza, this appears like an act of cooking, like the animal is the pot with the various limbs sitting inside it. Elo, rather, don't do it in that way, do it in a different way. Toilin chutzalai, we hang those parts right outside, alongside the animal. Rashi says, you insert it in the portion of the spit, which is near the mouth, near the opening of the Karban Pesach. And that's how you roast it all together as one. Ein toilin es ha-pesach, lo yala shfud, we're not meant to roast the Pesach using a metal spit. The Gemara will explain why. V'loyla askel nor using a metal grill. Amar Rabbi Tzadik, Masa, b'Rabban Gamliel. There was an incident with Rabban Gamliel who instructed his loyal servant Tavi. We have this several times in Shas and Sukkah, etc. So he instructed Tavi. Sha'amar l'Tavi avdei tseyu etzleil lanos ha-pesach. Go prepare, go roast for us the Karban Pesach. Ala askel, using a grill. The Gemara explain how this is compatible with the previous part of the Mishnah. Let's take a look at Rashi, starting on the top of the Amud. Ketzad Tzolin, they bring a Shvud Shel Rimon. Why specifically Rimon? Tamim Farsh B'Gemara, the Gemara explain. V'noisnein es krov, and everything goes into the animal, and it's roasted all as one unit. K'dechsiv Tzli'esh, Roishai al krov v'gaymer. Kula ke'echad mashm, all as one unit. Rabbi Akiva says, no, this looks like he's cooking. It appears like he's cooking the bnei me'ayim in the animal, using the animal like a pot. Rather, inserted into the shvud next to the mouth. We're not meant to use a shvud, shel barzel, says Rashi. A metal item. The Gemara explains like this. We know that the Karban Pesach is meant to be roasted using heat coming from a fire, dry heat from a fire. Now, should he use a metal rod? That creates a concern. Why? Shamateches, what happens to metal when even a portion of it gets hot? It conducts that heat throughout the entire item. K'shemischamem miktsasei, when a portion becomes hot, mischamem kulei, the heat spreads throughout the entire rod. Now, what's going to happen? the Pesach, which is wrapped around this rod, will become roasted, the portion that's in contact with the rod, meaning the interior part of the animal, which is sitting on the rod, which is now very hot. Why is that rod hot? Because the part of the rod which is exposed to the fire and got hot through fire, that heat spread to the rest of the rod, all the way inside the animal, and the portion of the bus of the Karban Pesach coming to contact with that rod will get roasted via the heat of that rod. That's not heat coming from fire, that's heat coming from metal. When a portion of the rod gets hot, the entire thing gets hot. And the Karban Pesach, which is touching that rod, will become roasted as a result of that heat. The portion of the rod, which is embedded in the Karban, received its heat from the portion of the rod exposed to the fire. And this results in the Karban Pesach getting roasted through something other than fire. Rachman Omar, Tzliyesh. Askela is a grill, Balaz, Vukula, Chataima. And the reason here is the very same reason as Ishfud. A metal item is Ansuru. Continues the Gemara. So we began describing the Tzliya using Vin Shvut Shal Rimoin. Says the Gemara, why specifically wood? V'neisi Shal Mateches. Why can't you use a metal pole? I did the Chamik Tzosai. The problem there is because when even a portion of that metal rod heats up, Cham Kuloi, the entire thing gets heated up, the heat spreads and conducts throughout, V'komatvi Machmas HaShvud, which results in the Karban Pesach sitting on the other side of this rod getting roasted, getting affected through the heat of that portion of the Shvud, which is Shvud heat, rather than fire heat. V'rachman Omar, Tzliyesh, V'loi Tzli Machmas Davarach. V'naisi Shodekel, fine, you need to have something which doesn't conduct. Why specifically from a rimoin tree? What's wrong with using Shodekel, like a palm branch? I did the Islay Shibi, since the palm branch has some cracks there, Mapik Mayat exudes liquid, Vabik Mavushal, that's no longer producing dry heat. It's like cooking, because the Karban Pesach will be affected, will be heated by that moisture coming out of the branch. It's like Bishol rather than dry heat, which creates a roasting effect. V'nesi Shal Te'ena, why can't they use a branch from a fig tree? I did a Mechalchal. Since that branch is hollow, full of some type of marrow, like a sap, Mapik Maya, it produces liquid, V'hava Lekim Avushal, and there again, it creates a Bishol effect. V'nesi Shal Alain, why can't they use a branch from a oak tree, Shal Chorav, Karav, Shal Shikma, Saikma tree? I did the Ispe Kitri, since those branches have knots, have these bumps in them, which need to be smoothed out, removed, in order to use this branch effectively, Mapik Maya. It'll exude liquid through those holes. Shal Rima Namin Ispe Kitri, but a Rima tree also has knots. She Kitri, its knots are relatively smooth and don't need to be removed, in which case the knots remain closed up, and no liquid is produced. Hibay Seima Nalapshat. Benagbu Bar Shata was speaking about using the branch of a rimoin tree which is still young, a sapling within a year old, the last big kid tree which doesn't have any nuts. But it could be paske. Now you need to remove the branch from the tree. So the place where you chop that branch, that's exposed, that's open. And liquid can exude and trickle out of there. So even a rimoin branch is problematic. The Mapik Be Paske Levar was speaking that he ensures that the cut portion of this branch is beyond the animal, is outside the animal, in which case no liquid would trickle into the animal. Masnisin like Rabbi Yehuda, apparently our Mishnah is not compatible with Rabbi Yehuda. The Sani Rabbi Yehuda Imer, there's no concern with using a metal rod. Kashem shel shvud shel eitz eina nisraf, just as you'll agree with me. Even when you use a wooden rod, you insert it through the animal, hang it up in the tanner in the oven, you agree with me that the portion inside, embedded inside the animal, doesn't get burnt by the fire because it's protected by the meat surrounding it. Same thing with a metal rod. The portion of the rod which is embedded in the animal doesn't really get heated up in a serious way because it's protected from fire. So there's no concern with the Korban Pesach getting roasted on account of the heat coming from the rod. It doesn't really get seriously heated up. Amar lei, the Chacham responded, no, there is a difference. Zecham miktsasa echam kulei, when it comes to a metal rod, as soon as a portion of the rod, meaning the part sticking out of the animal exposed to fire, heats up, that heat spreads throughout, and even the rod which is inside the animal does receive enough heat to transmit that heat further and somewhat roast the animal, in which case the animal is roasted from the heat coming of that from that rod. V'zecham miktsasa echam kulei, as opposed to a wooden rod which doesn't have this nature. Let's take a look at Rashi, right off to the right. Amar loy chacham responded, Avabish ein pnimi shaleitz nisraf. True, we agree with you that the inner portion of that wooden rod sitting inside the animal doesn't really get burnt. It's protected, but that's only because it's wood. Aval pnimi shal mateches martiach. But a metal rod, even the inner portion does get hot enough. Shezeh shaleitz cham miktsasa lecham kulei, because this wooden rod doesn't conduct. If that's the case, everything here is roasted through fire. Even the portion of the Korban Pesach, which is wrapped around that wooden spit, doesn't get affected by that wood. Rather, it is roasted through fire. V'zeh shomatechas, however, this metal rod, chamek tzosei cham kuli. When a portion gets hot, the entire thing gets hot. Afilu mashem mechusur menu, even the portion which is covered, meaning the pot is running through the animal, gets hot enough, hilkach havalit sli shvud, resulting in the Korban Pesach getting roasted through that shvud and not the fire. The Mishnah had a machlokes regarding the configuration. How do you set up the tzliya? According to one shita, everything is put inside the animal. Roishoy al krav al kirbay. According to Rabbi Akiva, no, this looks like an act of cooking. Rather, the limbs are hung alongside the animal. We have a similar machlokes in a braisa. Continues the Gemara Vernaisin as Krav B'chul Tanya, Rabbi Shmuel Koreyu Toich Toich. He described the Tzli of the Korban Pesach Toich Toich, which is reminiscent of the bubbling sound of a pot that's cooking. Here as well, you inserted those items into the animal and it produced that bubbling Toich Toich sound. Rabbi Tarfon Koreyu G'dimikulis. He disagreed. He says you can't put the limbs inside. Rather, you would hang it alongside. Mikulas means Lashon Koiva Nechoshes, Rashi says. It's like a copper, like a helmet that a warrior wears. So according to Rabbi Tarfon, you'd place these items alongside the head of the animal. Gedi Mikulas, it appears like an animal who's covered with a helmet. So according to him, rather than placing the items inside, you would hang it alongside the animal. So the Mechlegis in the Braisa corresponds to the Mechlegis in the Mishnah. Tana Rabban. Ezog de Mekulas. We learned earlier on Daf Nun Gimel that there was a minhag in some places to refrain on Pesach at night from eating something, meat, which was prepared in a similar manner as the Korban Pesach. It shouldn't appear as though he's eating kachem outside. Ezog de Mekulas. The Osso Le'echoil Belele Pesach Bazman Azeh. How do we describe this Kli Mekulas, which would be usher to be eaten bezman hazeh, on the night of Pesach? What is the manner of roasting which resembles the roasting of the Korban Pesach? Kol shetzolei kula ke'echad. It's only a problem if the entire animal was roasted all as one, which resembles the manner in which way they roasted the Korban Pesach. However, nechtach memenu ever, should one of the limbs be cut off of the animal and roasted separately, this no longer appears like a Korban Pesach, which was roasted all as one unit. Nishlak menu aver. After they removed the aver, they went and they heavily cooked it. Ein zeg demekulos. In both these cases, it doesn't conform to a gdimekulos preparation, and therefore it's unlike the Korban Pesach. Says the Gemara, Hashti yishlema, now that you tell me, nechtach menu aver. If one of the averim were cut off, even though after cutting off you roasted it together with the rest of the animal, Amr Slo, you tell me it's no concern, because generally the Korban Pesach would be roasted all as one unit. Tesis actually says that l'chatchila, it's not b'di'evet, but that's the way they would do it. And therefore, by removing an aver, even if you go ahead and roast it together, but since it's no longer one unit, you tell me there's no concern because it's this similar to the way they prepare the Karban Pesach. And therefore, it doesn't appear like he's eating a kachim outside Yerushalayim. So that's not a concern. Nishlak m'boya, do you need to tell me that once you remove it, then you go and cook it separately? That's not either a concern? Of course not. If the first case posed no concern, certainly this case where it's so drastically different than the Karban Pesach. You actually cooked it. Nobody cooks the Karban Pesach. Omer Rav Sheshes, Sheshalka b'mechuber. What the Braisa meant to say is like this. Either one or the other. Either an aver was chopped off and then roasted with the carbon. So since it's no longer one unit, it doesn't resemble the preparation of the Karban Pesach. Or when part of the carbon, part of the animal, was cooked, an aver was cooked while still connected to the rest of the animal. So it's still one unit, but since you've cooked that aver, it makes it obvious this isn't really a carbon, and there's no concern with eating it outside Bizman Hazeh. So in conclusion, we described briefly the tzli of the Karban Pesach with a wooden rod. The Mishnah follows the Chachamim, who're concerned about metal conducting. We need to have tzliyesh, not tzli, coming from that metal rod. We have two descriptions in the Mishnah. Either they put the legs and intestines inside the carbon or hung it alongside it. And now we learned the concern about eating a roasted animal b'leil Pesach bizman hazeh is only if it was prepared in a similar manner as a Karban Pesach. Amar Rabba, the Gemara now will proceed to discuss halachos of dam. Hai mul yosa sharia. Mul yosa is a filler, a filling. So Rashi says it would take a part of an animal, let's say it would take a foot, a hand, which has a bone, surrounded with meat. They would pull apart the meat from the bone, create an opening, and fill it with some other type of meat filling, whether it's perhaps ground meat. Now, that filler was never salted. Generally, salt is something which extracts the dam. But here we filled this cut of meat with filling that still has its dam. Says Rabba, Hai mul yasa, this filler, sharia is mutter, even though it wasn't properly salted. You can go ahead and take this unit, this meat with the filling inside, go ahead and roast it, and there's no concern. Amle Abaye, how can that be? Vokabala dama. The meat of that limb, a hand, a foot, whatever it is, the outer layer surrounding the filler will absorb the dam which is being expelled by the meat which is filling, by the filler meat, and it's going to trap it, in which case the outer layer will have absorbed dam, because generally the heat during the roasting process extracts, sucks out the dam. But in this case, since we have a double layer, we have the filler inside surrounded by the natural layer of meat, the dam coming from the inner layer will get trapped in the outer layer. Oh, Kabbalah Dama. Amalei, so Rabbi responded, no. Kibbalah Kachpolta. Just as the outer layer will absorb the dam coming from the filler meat, Kachpolta. Likewise, it's going to expel that dam. Meaning, what generates the movement of dam? It's the heat coming from the fire used to roast that piece of meat. That fire will suck out the dam coming from, embedded in the interior, the inside layer in the filler, and bring it through the outer layer all the way out. It'll be pulled into the fire. A drop will evaporate into the fire. Let's see Rashi, two lines from the bottom. It says Rashi, "Vokabolah." This is Abaye's kasha. "Vokabolah hatleh." The actual animal will absorb dam hayotzim na basa konos besoichay. The animal will absorb the dam coming from the basar, which is being used as a filler. Rabbi responded, kiboy lakach pota. You're right. The animal will absorb dam coming from the filling. But just as the dam moves into the outer layer, it goes through the outer layer and goes all the way out to the fire. It's one continuous process. Polter lechutz expels it to the outside. V'shoyev ha'yichayim ha'or, and is sucked through the heat of that fire. Continues the Gemara. Neyo masayele. Perhaps we can have a raya to this concept of kiboy lekach polter. Noisin eskrov v'esbnei me'av l'soycha. We have our Mishnah. We place the legs, the bnei me'ayim, into the Karban Pesach animal. And we're not concerned that the dam present inside that leg, for instance, will get trapped in the animal. In which case, we have dam, which is us. My time up. Why aren't we concerned? Lav mishum. Isn't it because the amrina, we apply this concept. Ki boiloi. Just as the animal will certainly absorb dam coming from the leg, which is embedded inside it. Kach poltoi. Likewise, we'll go and expel it out towards the fire. It won't stay there. It's going to move right through it. It's going to go in and out. So this is a riot to Rabba. Amri, no. So they answered, you can't bring a riot. Shani Hasam, because there it's different. Kivin d'ikah beis ha-shchita d'machalchal. Let's remember, this animal is on a slant. The beis ha-shchita, the neck where the shchita took place, is hanging downward. So due to this angle, the beis ha-shchita, which is the machalcha, which is open wide, it creates that escape channel, that drainage channel made of divi. The dam will simply trickle out. So you're allowing a large opening, large size opening, for that dam to come out. Therefore, there's no concern about that dam getting trapped in the animal, as opposed to filling inside an animal, which is trapped inside, and there's no large size opening to allow dam to come out. There's no raya from our Mishnah to the case of filling. Perhaps you can have a raya from another Mishnah. We know that the heart of an animal contains dam. You meant to tear it open, extract its dam, and then go ahead and roast it. Why kore? Suppose he failed to tear it open. So you go ahead and tear it open after the roasting process, and it's still mutter. My time, and why is it mutter? Why are we not concerned about the fact that perhaps the animal absorbed the dam coming from that heart? Lav mishum dam rina ki boil kach polter. Is it not because we apply this concept? The same heat that pulls the dam from the cavity of that heart will pull it right through the walls of the heart, through the animal itself, all the way out, in which case it will evaporate. So you have a right to rub. Says the Gemara, not really. Shani leif, heart's different. The Shia, because it has a smooth surface. Therefore, there's no concern about any absorption. The dam contained in the heart remains in its place. It won't get absorbed even into the walls of the heart itself because it's smooth. Therefore, even if this heart happens to be cooked, you cooked it with its dam inside, there's no concern. Continues the Gemara. We'll have a raya from the following story. Vaharavin Saba, that was his name, Tafle, now Tafle means like this. They would take some type of animal, whether it's a bird, whether it's a duck, and they would bread it. They would baste it, they would cover it with some sort of flour, some sort of dough material. That's called tafli. So tafli, he bar gozla l'rav. He prepared this bar gozla, this young bird, tafli. He covered it with paste, with dough. He did it in honor of Rav. Now, this goat was not yet, was full of dam. The dam hadn't yet been removed. And he went and he roasted it. Roasted it with its covering. And what happened? V'amarle, and Rav told him, imali tafle. If you see that the coating tastes good, havli ve'echol. Let me have some, I'll eat it. So what do we see? That we're not concerned about any blood getting trapped inside this coating. No, we say, yeah, it absorbed the dam, but then expelled it over to the fire. Kibbol kapolta. Is this a riot? Says the Gemara, not necessarily. Ahi, that story took place besmida, using very fine flour. The mafir, which is brittle and crumbly. Rav Harshim explained that the dough made from soilus, certain element of the grain, is highly refined but very brittle, because the particles are coarse, so the covering is porous and allows the dam to trickle through. So here there was no concern about any dam getting trapped in this coating. So there's no riot from here. Says the Gemara v'harava, ikla l'beirish galusa. Now we're going to have a riot that it's aser, because Rava came to the Reish Galusa's home, and they prepared for him v'tavlule, they did this tefillah for him, they covered a bar avza, this young duckling. They covered it with some sort of dough covering. Omar, and they roasted it as such. Omar, and he said like this, Eloi de chazite. Not the fact that I observed, I noticed, the zig, that the coating was clear as glass. Kizuzu chivra, like a white glass, meaning it was transparent, without any hint of redness. If not for the fact that I noticed that it was clear, I would not have eaten from it, because I would have been concerned. Had I noticed any pigment of any sort of redness there, I would have been concerned that perhaps there was some dumb trap there. Now, if you maintain that just as the outer surface, the outer layer, absorbs, likewise it expels it over to the fire while it's being roasted, then what was the concern here? My area kizig. Why would he only be comfortable with it if it was clear? I feel like he loy zignami, even if it would not have been clear. He should have eaten it. Meaning, let's say he would have noticed some sort of hint of redness. Well, let's just attribute it to color. Rashi explains that sometimes you can have a reddish color, but it's not really dam any longer. So we have a right from here that we are concerned about the dam getting trapped in the outer layer during the roasting process. It's only because it was clear, in which case it was obvious that there was no remnant of dam there. Otherwise, he would not have eaten it. Says the Gemara, there's no riot from there. Hosam bechivrisa, the shorer. The coating there was done using a paste made from kemach nekia, fine flour. Not the highly refined flour we discussed earlier, but just plain fine flour. Kemach nekia, Rashi says. Not soilus, but kemach nekia, in which case the paste is more adhesive. The shuri, it's tough, it's hard. Less porous and hard, in which case there is a real concern about trapping the dam inside. There's no way for the dam to leave. It can't get through this coating. So that's a unique case. And over there, we don't say kiboy lekach polta. Yeah, we say the dam which came from the animal, in this case, the duck, got stuck right underneath the outer layer. Couldn't get out. Therefore, he only ate it because it was clear, in which case, it was obvious that there was nothing stuck there. V'ilchasa, the final halacha is like this. Regarding coating, breading on a bird, on a duck, it depends what it's made of. The smida, if it's made of soilus, this was the first example we had, the coarse particles of the grain, in which case, we're not concerned. Bein asmik, bein loy asmik shari. Asmik means it reddened. Whether the coating looked red, mainly asmik, or whether it didn't have any hint of redness, shari, in either case, it's mutter. Even when it's red, we just say it's a pigment. It's not really the dam. The reason is because it's so highly porous. It certainly would allow the dam to go right through it, be attracted by the fire, and evaporate in the fire. The chivrisa, on the other hand, if you have this white, this kemach noki, which creates a more firm covering, izig kezuza chivra sharia. If the coating appears to be clear, like a white glass, it's a transparent, then it's mutter. Eloi aser, but otherwise, if it looks a bit red, it's aser, because this is a tough adhesive coating, which is not porous, and we're concerned about trapping. The shar kmachim, ordinary flour, which is nor brittle, nor overly hard and tough, asmik aser. Then we say, if it's red, then it's also, which indicates that there's some dam there. Lo yasmek, if it's not red, shari, we assume that the dam just came right through it. Kiboiloi kach potet, just as it absorbed the dam coming from the inside of the animal, it sent it over to the fire. So that's the maskana regarding breaded meat. Getting back to the filled meat, haimel yosa, manda asar afila puma lesachas. We had a machlekes earlier. If you have an animal which is filled using filler, which contains some dam, which was never properly treated for its dam. Abaye said, you can't allow that. Why? Because the dam coming from that filler material gets stuck underneath the outer layer. It gets absorbed in the outer layer and stays right there. Rabbi said, no, keep boiling kach potin. Just as the upper layer absorbs dam coming from the filling, it will pass it on over to the fire, in which case it will evaporate and no longer be there. Then we're analyzing the machlekes. Hi, Mulyasa. This halacha of a filler, man de asar abayu said it's asar, afilu puma lesachas. He holds that even if the opening, in which you inserted the filling, is facing downward, in which case you would think perhaps a dam has the opportunity to trickle out. No. He would say it's us even in that case. Now Tosis points out, even though we just said a minute ago, that when it comes to the base hashchita, the machalchel, since the neck area of the animal is open, all agree there's no concern because the dam coming from the items inserted into the animal will trickle right out there. So why is this different? We say that when it comes to a filling, even if the opening is facing downward, Abaye would say it's aser. Tosis says the difference between here and there. There we're speaking about a large size opening, Beis HaShechita is wide open. All agree, the dam has plenty of room to trickle out. As opposed to here, we're speaking about a narrow slit, in which case Abaye would say that's not sufficiently open to allow the dam to flow out freely. That's according to Abaye. Uman de Shari, however, according to Rabu, who says it's mutter, again he says kiboil kach potay, because the dam true gets absorbed in the upper layer, but then it goes right out to the fire. I feel pumla, even if the slit, the opening in which you inserted the filler, is facing upward, in which case it's counter gravity, it's still mutter because the heat of the fire will suck out the dam. So what's the final halacha? Vilchasa mul yosa shari, a filled animal is mutter. I feel pumla, even if the opening is headed upward. The point is, kibbola kach potay, we're not concerned about any dam remaining inside there. The fire will simply suck it out through all the layers out to the fire. Continues the Gemara. We're going to have another machlokes regarding three situations. Umtza, Bei, Umizriki. Umtza, as she explains, is a cut of meat which exhibits excessive redness. You notice a blood clot in there, whether it happened through an injury, etc. So there's a hardened blood element in this piece of meat. That's not your typical meat where it's quite easy to get the dam out. Here we have a blood clot in there. Bei is a similar situation. Rashi says, Bei tzei zachar, testicles of the zachar, which also have this red mark. Umizriki. These are the veins, the arteries, which are filled with dam in the neck area. So how do we treat these three things? How do we extract the dam? The Gemara will tell us the machlekes applies to a case where they were roasted right on top of coals. Pligiba Rav Acha Ravina. There will be a machlekes actually between Rav Acha and Ravina regarding these things. Now, b'chol Torah kula, all throughout Torah, when we have a machlekes between these two amirayim, Rav Acha and Ravina, and it's an unspecified machlekes, we're not sure who said what. The formula is, the rule of thumb is Rav Acha l'chumra, Ravina l'kula. Rav Acha is the one who is machmer, Ravina is the one who is mekel. And how do we follow? Ravina l'kula. Such a general rule. Rav Acha is the machmer, Ravina is the mekel. We follow Ravina, who is the mekel. Levar mehanit klas. This rule applies to all over except for these three things that we just discussed, the umtza, the beitzim, and the mizriki, where their roles are reversed. Rav Acha l'kula, here Rav Acha is mekel, Ravina l'chumra, he's machmer. We follow Rav Acha, who is Mekel. Okay, what is the discussion about? Hi, umtza the asmik. You have this cut of meat which exhibits some redness there, some deep redness as a result of a clot. How do we treat it? Chatche umalche. We have three options. If he cut it open, umalche, and he properly salted it, then you can be sure the dam was removed. Afilu kedei shari. You can even put it in a pot and cook it. That's one option. Shaftei b'shfuda. Let's say he inserted it onto a spit and roasted it. Shari, there as well. There's no concern. It's mutter, made of dayev, because the dam just trickles out due to the excessive heat of that fire during the roasting process. So all agree in these cases you're okay. However, achti agumre, if you placed it on directly on coals, in which case you don't really have leeway, you don't have space for the dam to come out, it just gets trapped in its place. Pligiba Rav Acha Ravina, now we have machlokes. Chad asar, one of them says asar, and I think Gemara just told us Ravina is the one who is machmer in this case. V'chad shari, and Rav Acha was the one who said muta. What is the reason for that machlokes? Manda asar, the shita that says asar, he holds, unlike your typical roasting process where you have some space, some air, in which case that allows for the dam to trickle out. Here it's sitting on coals, mitzmas tzumis. It just has that shriveling effect and it locks the blood right in its place. So it remains there. Therefore it's also Amanda Shari, the one that says Mutter, Mishav Shav, he holds that the coals through their intense heat, they draw out, they suck out the dam, which will no longer be present in this piece of meat. And what is the halacha? We assume that it's drawn out and it's mut. This applies to a cut of meat with a black and blue mark. The same thing regarding the beitzei zachar, which have this blood clot. The same thing. Chatchinu malchinu, if you cut it open, cut them and salted them, afilu kedei or shari in the mut, even to be used in a pot. You can even cook them. Talina b'shvuda, if they were hung up on a spit for roasting, shari on there as well, their mutter, made of dayev, because the blood trickles out. Achtin agurim replaced on coals, now we have a problem. Pligi bar vachon ravina, machlagiz in ravachon ravina, chad asa, one says asa, chad shari, one says mutter. Man the asa, the one that says asa, because mitzvah summits, it just shrivels up and congeals. Man the shari, the one that says mutter, mishav shari, we assume the coals draw out the blood, and therefore it's mutter. The same thing applies to the mizraki, those arteries and veins which contain dam. V'chein mizraki, chatchi malchi, cut it open and properly salted it. Afil kedir shuri, can be even cooked in a pot. Tali b'shvudi, hung it up on a spit for roasting. Beis hashchita letatoi. Oh, here we have a distinction. If the beis hashchita, we're speaking about arteries found in the neck area, so it depends which direction he's roasting that piece of meat. If the opening of the Beis HaShechita is facing downward, which allows the blood to trickle down, Beis HaShechita litatoi, shari, then it's mutter, made of doi, because the blood trickles out. Achtei agumrei. Now, the third option, if it was placed on coals, we have the same machlokes as earlier, pligi ravachi ravina. We have machlokes in ravachi ravina, chad osa, one says osa, chad shari, one says mutter. For the very same reasons mentioned earlier, manda osa, the one says osa, mitzvah samis, we're concerned that the coals will lock in the blood. Uman the shari, the one that says mutter, mishav shoy, because it draws it out. And the vhilchasa, mishav shoy, we go to kula, we assume that the blood will get sucked into the heat of those coals, and therefore this piece of meat is mutter. Let's make a summary at this point of the cases we learned up until this point in the Gemara. We discussed three concepts. Miloi, an animal which was filled using meat, which still contains dam. We have three different cases. When this happens in the Karban Pesach, the Mishnah says clearly it's mutter. They used to put the legs, etc., into the Karban Pesach and roast it in that manner. And the Gemara says all agree. There's no concern because the Beis HaShechita is machalchal, since the animal is tilted downward, in which case the Beis HaShechita, which has a wide opening, allows for that dam to trickle down. We know likewise that when you have dam in a heart of an animal, even if it was cooked together with the animal, it's no concern. Just tear it open, take out the dam, because the walls of that lave have a smooth surface and resist any dam. They don't absorb it, and therefore there's no concern about any dam absorption. Regarding ordinary basa, which was filled with other meat containing dam, here we have a machlok between Abaye says it's also. We're concerned that the heat of that fire during the roasting process will expel the dam from the filler into the outer surface. In which case, the outer layer will not have dam. Rambam says, no concern, because kibbalah kach polter, just as it absorbed through the heat of fire, it also expelled further, and the dam will continue onward, get absorbed and evaporated in that fire. We have a case of tefillah, where you took a piece of unsalted meat and breaded it, coated it with some sort of paste. Well, it depends what you used. If you used soyless, which is that brittle, porous material, it's mutter because the dam will just travel right through it and evaporate in the fire. If you breaded it using a paste made from kemach noki, fine flour, which has an adhesive nature to it, it's sharer, it hardens, and it's a non-porous material. In that case, all agree there's a concern because the dam coming from the inside will get stuck, trapped underneath that layer. If you use ordinary kemach, which is neither porous, neither overly tough, in that case, it depends. If he notices some redness, in which case he has to be concerned that the dam was trapped there, then it's usser. If it's clear, if it's white, transparent, in that case, we assume the dam just went right through that outer layer into the fire. There's no concern there. We concluded with a case of umtza, beya, and mizriki. Umtza is a cut of meat which has some type of blood clot in it. Beitzim are those, beitzi zachar, which according to Rashi also have this blood clot. Mizriki, those are the arteries in the neck area of the animal. So it depends how he processed it. If he chopped it up and properly salted it, there's no concern whatsoever. If he simply took it and roasted it, then we say the blood just trickles out, there's no concern as well. Actually, in the case of the veins, of the arteries, the Gemara says specifically that it has to be facing downward. Now, if he took these items and roasted them and barbecued them on top of coals, here we have machlekes. According to Ravina, it's aser because mitzmas tzumis, the blood simply remains in place, the entire item just shrivels onto those coals, and there's a concern about presence of dam. According to Rav Acha, it's no concern. The heat of fire is shoyev, it draws out that dam. Continues the Gemara with another couple examples. Hai umtza de asmik. Rashi learns we have a umtza, piece of meat, which was roasted. The asmik, it exhibited some signs of redness, meaning it had that blood clot in it. Certainly after you roasted it, you properly roasted it, it's mutter, as the Gemara discussed earlier. However, this fellow went ahead and cut through it. Now we're concerned. What are we concerned about? Although you may eat this thing, but perhaps once you cut it, the cutting process perhaps will extract some of the dam which is embedded within this clot. Halacha is that dam ha'ivarim, dam which is embedded deep inside a piece of meat, is really mutter. Dam is only asr once it moves around. So the roasting process removes the dam closer to the surface. Therefore, you can go and eat this piece of meat. So generally, there's no concern. But when there is a blood clot, we're concerned that perhaps there's still something embedded inside. Had he simply eaten this, it would have been okay. But then when he cuts it, we're concerned he might have reached some of the dam which is still present inside. And when the dam gets moved around, it's awesome. So what's the halacha? Hai umta the asmik, if he cut open this piece of meat which has a blood clot, we're speaking after roasting, chal yei asr. The gravy which comes out is asr. We're concerned that there's some blood there. Loy asmik. But if we're speaking about an ordinary piece of meat which has no blood clot there, it was roasted, we're not concerned about any blood present. Chal yishari, its gravy is mutter. It seems that even if it's a bit red, it's just a pigment, just a color, it's not considered dam. Ravina Omar, afilu loy asmik nami. Even if this piece of meat did not have any blood clot there, didn't have any sign of redness, chal yasser, its gravy is asr, why efshar the less bashuraiki dama. It's impossible. There are no streaks of dam in this gravy. Tosis asks on Rashi, he says, a piece of meat fully roasted, why would it be any concern here? And he has a different pshat in the Gemara. Omale mara baramim l'Ravashi. Mar, the son of Amemar, told Ravashi as follows. Abba, my father, his father was Amemar. My father was mekel in this thing. Megamale gemui, he would drink this gravy without any concern. Igad Amri, some say it was Rav Ashi Gufe, Rav Ashi himself. Megamalei Gemui would drink this gravy without any concern. Amalei Mar Bar Amemar Rav Ashi. You have another halacha that Mar, the son of Amemar, related to Rav Ashi. Abba, my father, Amemar. Hai Cholo, the Achlet, the Cholot Beichad Azimna. They would use vinegar to extract dab from a piece of meat. Rashi explains that this was a piece of meat which had already been roasted. So why was he busy taking out the dam? The Tosfos Reed explains that was speaking that he wanted to go ahead and salt this, preserve this piece of meat, to preserve it. Now, even after it was roasted, perhaps there's still some dam embedded deep inside, which the salt will extract. So before salting, he wanted to get the rest of the dam in there, and he dunked it into vinegar, which has the ability to suck out dam. Hai chalot, the chalot bei chadazimna, this vinegar, this chalot, the chalot bei chadazimna, in which he was choylet, means he immersed a piece of meat so that it sucks out the dam. He did it chadazimna one time. Can you reuse, can you recycle that vinegar? No. Suloi tani, chalot bei. Tani means to repeat. He would no longer repeat. Suloi tani, chalot bei, do this process using the same vinegar. Because it loses its sharpness, its potency. Says the Gemara, what's wrong? Maishna, why is this different? Mechala matma, from weak vinegar, the chaltinebe, which we use for chalita to extract dam. Why is recycled vinegar worse than weak vinegar to begin with? Says the Gemara, Hasam, even if we're dealing with poor quality vinegar, Isse le kiyua de pira, beina, beini. The kiyua, the acidity, the sharpness coming from the fruit, which was used to produce the vinegar, is still intact. It's still beini, it's still there. So although it's poor quality, but it still has that acidity and it's effective. Since this vinegar was never used, however, recycled vinegar, less le kiyua de pira beini, the kiyua de pira, the acidity coming from the fruit, meaning the natural acidity and potency of that vinegar has already evaporated. It's no longer be'eni, it's no longer intact. And therefore, once you use it once, it's no longer effective, and you can use it. Let's see Rashi on top. The kiyo de peir igdur, tama peri, the tam of the fruit, everybody is still there. This is speaking about poor quality vinegar, which was never used. So the potency, the acidity is still there. Shalohi tzib menu klum, nothing was extracted. From nothing was weakened here. No, it was naturally weak, and it's kalkotami. Still, Maitzidam Shekoicha Bekibra still has the power to extract the saka dam from a piece of meat. As opposed to our case, Hocha, Lesa Lekiyo de Per Be'enei, the Kiyo de Per is no longer present. Shebolitz Le'erishin, because the first piece of meat already absorbed it and weakened the vinegar, which is no longer deemed effective. Let's make a quick chazar of today's daf. Mishnah began with a description of Ketzad Tzolens HaPesach. How do we go about roasting Karim Pesach? Mishnah tells us we take a wooden rod. On that spit, we hang the Karim Pesach. We have two ways to do it. One sheet to hold. So we took the legs and the Bnei Mi'ayim and put it inside the animal. Rukiva says it looks like a cooking process. Rather, you hang it alongside the animal. Why specifically a wooden spit? Why not metal? Because metal conducts heat, in which case the heat will travel right through that rod into the animal, which will get roasted on account of the heat coming from that rod. That's not called sliyesh, and therefore you can't do it. And this is in contrast with Rav Yehuda, who was not concerned about this. Why specifically a shvut shel rima? The Gemara explained, due to its unique properties, it doesn't have that moisture trickling out, which is a concern with other various types of wood. The Gemara says, "Bezman hazeh," there's a minhag in some places not to imitate the roasting process done by the Karim Pesach, but if it's a bit different, in which case it's dissimilar, it does not resemble, then there's no concern. We proceeded with several cases of halachas concerning dam. We have firstly milui. If you filled an animal with some filler meat, which still contains dam, the Gemara says like this. If it's a Karim Pesach, there's no concern because the Beis HaShechita is facing downward, through which the dam will trickle out. A heart never has a concern because it doesn't absorb dam. ordinary basar used as a filler. Abaye says it's a concern because the dam will come from that basar into the outer layer covering the filler and will remain in place. Rabbi says no. The heat of fire will suck the dam all through the outer layer into the fire and will evaporate right there. Kiboyloi kach polta, just as the outer layer absorbs, it also transmits further into the fire. Regarding breaded meat, meat which was not yet cleaned of its dam, depends what type of material is being used. Soilet, which is brittle and porous, is no concern. The dam will simply go right through the outer layer. Kamachnoki, which is hard and creates this tough, non-porous surface, over there there's a concern because the dam gets trapped underneath that layer. Used ordinary kamach. Well, it depends. If you see redness, it's aser. If it's clear, it's mut. A piece of meat, umtza or beitzim, which have that blood clot. Likewise, the mizriki, these arteries in the neck area of the carbon, are they mutter? It depends what you did. If you roast, if you cut it open and salted them properly, there's no concern. You could even go and cook it in a pot because the malicha extracts the dam. If they were roasted there as well, there's no concern because the heat pulls out the dam, which just trickles down and disappears. Placed on coals involves a machlekes. Ravino says it's aser, mitzvah summis, the dam just remains in place. Ravacha says it's mutar, because the heat of that fire will be shoyev, will draw out the blood from that piece of meat. We concluded about a case where he cuts through a piece of roasted meat with machlekes, whether that gravy is mutar or aser, and we concluded with vinegar, which can be used to extract dam. So if it's naturally weak, that's still okay. But if it's even strong vinegar, which was already used, recycled vinegar is no longer effective. Hatzlacha Rava, all the best.